Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue on with this series about science in the Bible, different scientific or different statements in the Bible that touch on areas that we have just figured out with modern science. Somehow these Jews, writing thousands of years ago, knew about this stuff. Here's one that I should have included yesterday when we were talking about some of the dietary things that are mentioned in the Bible. God has given us the leaves of trees as medicine? That's weird. Check out Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 12. It says, "And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leave thereof for medicine." It's kind of interesting because, as we all know now, many plants' leaves contain medicinal uses. In fact, just plants in general, whether it's the leaves, the roots, different parts of the plants, and different ways to prepare those different parts of the plants have been proved to be medicinal in many different ways. Just kind of interesting. I thought I'd throw that in there. I suppose that's something that somebody writing thousands of years ago might have known. But whatever the case, let's move on. How about this one? In the Bible, we see that mankind descended from Adam and Eve. Okay? Well, interestingly enough, there's been several studies now that seem to point back to a single common ancestor. A 1995 study of a section of Y chromosomes from 38 men from different ethnic groups around the world was consistent with the biblical teaching that they all came from one man, Adam. And then, of course, there was another study recently where 147 people from different ethnic groups had their mitochondrial DNA examined, and again, they were able to trace back to a single common female. Now, of course, they believe that that was around 200,000 years ago. More recently, some challenges have come against that, saying that it was more like about 6,500 years ago. Oddly enough, kind of sounds biblical to me. But in other words, all the races of the world, all the people of the world, can be traced back to one female at a time in the past, whether 200,000 years ago, that's not true, or somewhere around 6,000, 5,000, somewhere around 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, that makes a lot more sense. We all came from one mother, and that would be Eve. It's funny, too, because this find has been referred to as mitochondrial Eve. Here's another one I should have mentioned yesterday. Laws against incest. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 6, we find that marrying people who were close to you, or you know, within your family line, was pretty common. But around 1500 BC, God started forbidding this practice. Well, why is that? Now we find that genetic mutations are much more prevalent in people who are inbreeding within the family. In other words, when somebody has a genetic, that's my dog, when people have a genetic defect that is within a family line, it's much more likely that when you have two people within a family procreating, you're going to see that genetic defect manifest itself in the children. How about this one? In Psalm 19, verse 6, we see that the sun goes in a circuit. Now, this one's interesting to me. Think about that. The Bible says the sun is going in a circuit. Now, throughout history, people have believed that the sun revolves around the earth. Okay, the sun is basically stationary. The earth spins, and the sun goes around the earth. But now we know, that the sun travels through a circuit. It's traveling at about 600,000 miles per hour, and it's moving through space through a huge circuit. Now, how did David know that? He didn't. God inspired him to write that. Consider this. The Bible says that God stretches out the heavens. That's mentioned in Job chapter 9 verse 8, Isaiah chapter 42 verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 51 verse 15, and Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1. God is stretching out the heavens. Well, science, until just recently, did not realize that the universe is expanding. For the longest time, well, people believed that the universe was static. You know, the stars stayed in their place. But no, the universe is actually expanding out. Now, how did these authors know this? Unless the Holy Spirit was speaking through them when they wrote it down. Now here's one. this is fascinating to me. See, okay, in Job chapter 28 verse 25 it says, to make the weight for the winds. Wait, what? Weight for winds? To make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. In other words, air has weight? Well, yeah. Actually, science has figured out that air does have weight. It doesn't weigh very much, but it does have weight. Now, for the longest time ever, I mean, it doesn't even cross your mind. Why would you even think that air would have weight? But there it is in the Bible. What a nonsensical statement for Job to write, except for, well, except that perhaps the Holy Spirit was writing through him and letting us in on something that we weren't going to figure out until, well, way off into the future, thousands of years later. Wait a minute, the air does have weight. Interesting. Here's another one. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 6. The jet stream is talked about. This is the craziest thing. Okay, again, think about this. Through the eyes of a writer thousands of years ago, this would be King Solomon writing this, 3,000 years ago, he writes, the wind goes toward the south, it turns around to the north, the wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Now, how would he know that? Interesting. Quarantine. Did I already talk about this early in the series? I don't think I did. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Also Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You see that people that have leprosy. Now, that word leprosy in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, it's a little bit different than our medical understanding of leprosy nowadays. The point is, though, it was contagious. And they put them outside of the camp. If you had leprosy, you were stuck outside the camp. If it was found in your home was condemned. Your belongings were burned. Interesting. Again, this is a concept that's far advanced for a culture thousands of years ago. Check out this cryptic statement that you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41. It says, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. It's kind of an interesting thing to write. Now, this is long before telescopes, but now we see that each star out there, it varies in size. It varies in intensity. It varies in its composition as well. Now, how, again, the writer of 1 Corinthians, that would be Paul, how did he know this? Well, by the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. Job chapter 38, verse 35. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are. Now, that's a pretty strange scripture right there. Nowadays, we know that we can send radio waves and light waves. Those are two different forms of the same thing, basically, electromagnetic waves. And we can use these to send our speech around the world. Radio transmitters. Radio. You're hearing my voice over through your earbuds or over the internet. Consider this scripture. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. This is King Solomon writing, and he says, "A merry heart does good like medicine." Now, that might seem like a big dumb moment for a lot of people, but it is a fact that laughter helps your health. It reduces stress. It reduces certain hormones. It brings balance to your immune system. It helps your body fight off disease. Now, conversely, when you find somebody who is depressed, that tends to make them more likely, more prone to sickness. Pretty much every one of you out there probably knows of somebody who lost a significant other, and pretty much lost that will to live soon thereafter. They lost their happiness. They just lost that will to fight. And oddly enough, passed away shortly thereafter. There is something to be said for a merry heart. It's good. It's like medicine. Consider this one. This is interesting. Exodus chapter 22, verse 31. "Whatever dies naturally or is torn by beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself with it. I am the Lord." Now, guys, this is Exodus, and Leviticus talks about this same concept as well. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that this is a clean and unclean matter. And I don't like when people only understand these commands to be referring to something that has to do with health. All right, because that's not all God is talking about here. There is something more going on here as far as being ceremonially clean. But having said that, it's interesting to know that back then they didn't understand that when something dies, it immediately starts decomposing, in the sense that disease and germs, bacteria, everything just starts growing like crazy. That's God's way of taking out the trash. I mean, it's dead now. It needs to return back to the soil and go back through this circle, this circle of nature that God has created. But it is interesting that all the way back in Exodus, I believe Exodus was written, oh boy, this is off the top of my head, somewhere around like 1475 BC, something like that, 1400 BC. That's a long time ago. That was long before microscopes. That was a long time before people understood these types of things. And here we see it in the book of Genesis. Again, guys, it's just interesting that whenever the Bible speaks on something that can be tested or verified with science, it comes through with flying colors. Why is that again? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through the lips and hands of men. Another subject that I want to get into, I look for a series on this subject coming to a iPod near you sometime very soon, coming from this ministry. But in Job, dinosaurs are described. Job chapter 40, verses 15 through 24. I got to read this to you guys. Does this, when you read this, in many of the newer versions of the Bible, they have little notations at the bottom of the page, something to the effect of, this must be an elephant. Sorry, when you read this description, it's like, that's not an elephant. Or a hippopotamus, some say it could be an alligator or a crocodile. Listen to this. You tell me, does this sound like any of the above, or does this sound like a terrible lizard? A dinosaur? So starting in chapter 40, verse 15, it says, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox." Okay, so doesn't sound very big yet. "Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar." Okay, well, that pretty much completely, just right there, eliminated elephants and hippopotamuses. what is that, plural, hippopotami? I don't know. the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief, listen to this, he's the chief of the ways of God. Now just right there, stop right there. He is the chief of the ways of God. Guys, we're talking about something that is the chief of the ways of God. Maybe I'm beating a dead horse here. We're not talking about an alligator. We're not talking about an elephant. This is going to be something that any human being would look at and say, wow. Now, you know, is there anything like that out there? Something that would shock you, something that would leave you in awe, all right? A dinosaur would definitely fit that scenario. So he's the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. That's big. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Okay, so we're looking at most likely an apatosaurus. That's what a lot of people think when they read this passage. We're going to get into that much deeper. And the Bible and the use of the word dragons throughout the scriptures and what that possibly could be talking about. I think it's pretty clear that we're looking at dinosaurs there when it talks about dragons. Yeah, I want to do a whole series on that. Whether I get somebody who is an expert in this area on the show or I just get down and dirty research it myself and talk about it, I don't know. But I definitely want to get into that in a future series. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Tomorrow we'll just pick right up where we left off here today. And so with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.